Radio Prague News. Czech MPs will no longer be paid for being on the supervisory boards of state-run companies and institutions. The head of the European Automobile Manufacturers Association, Ivan Hodač, is a hot candidate for the post of State Secretary for EU Affairs. And the former director of the National Technical Museum, Horimír Kubíček, is suspected of enriching himself at the museum's expense. MPs will no longer be paid for being on the supervisory boards of state-run companies and institutions, Prime Minister Petr Nečas told Friday's Hospodářské noviny. Mr. Nečas told the newspaper he planned to put a stop to the practice since it went against the conflict of interest law. In recent years, deputies on supervisory boards made hundreds of thousands of crowns monthly on the side, arguing that the institution in question was a public rather than state institution, or that it was not a company but a fund. The Prime Minister said he had no intention of tolerating the practice in future. The head of the European Automobile Manufacturers Association, Ivan Hodač, is a hot candidate for the newly established post of State Secretary for EU Affairs, the Daily Lidové Noviny wrote in its Friday edition. Although the Prime Minister has not officially confirmed the choice, the paper says that the Civic Democrats coalition partners, Topo 9 and Public Affairs, were consulted about his candidacy. The State Secretary for EU Affairs is to be answerable directly to the Prime Minister, and the post will be filled by a Civic Democrat appointee. Mr. Hodač, who is 64, emigrated to Denmark after the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. He graduated from Copenhagen University, majoring in economics and political sciences. He speaks 7 foreign languages. The former director of the National Technical Museum, Horimír Kubíček, who was sacked by the culture minister on Thursday, is suspected of enriching himself at the museum's expense. The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes said the former general director increased his salary several fold by giving himself undeserved monthly and annual bonuses. The paper wrote that the official was making as much as the country's president. There are also claims that several exhibits from the museum have gone missing. The culture minister, Jiří Besser, has sent in independent auditors. Cost-cutting measures in the public sector are also likely to affect priests and church employees. The Labour and Social Affairs Ministry has proposed cutting their monthly salaries by 10%, which would save the state budget 90 million crowns annually. The move would affect close to 5,000 priests who stand to lose approximately 1,500 crowns a month. The average salary of a priest is just over 13,000 crowns a month. The lowest is 9,600. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The Czech Republic should experience a heat wave in the coming days, with day temperatures between 28 and 32 degrees Celsius. A cold front is expected to bring the hot spell to an abrupt end next Tuesday, when temperatures should drop back to around 20 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Sarah Barufka. Welcome to the program. Today, unions are up in arms after the Ministry of Labour announces pay cuts of 10% for state employees from 2011. A monument honoring a Polish man who set himself on fire in protest at the 1968 invasion is unveiled in Prague, and we hear about the Czech Winery of the Year award, which has just been handed out. And we'll also have the latest Czech business news. All that and more coming up, so don't go away. Come 2011, the Ministry of Labour wants to see state employees' salaries cut by 10%. That was the main point of a proposal put forward on Thursday as part of the coalition's pledge to reform the public sector. The relevant unions wasted no time in voicing their absolute opposition to a plan that will likely be a matter of heated debate for months to come. Christian Falvey has the story.
Reform of the public sector has been expected of the new center-right government since elections at the end of May. But the first actual move in that direction came on Thursday, with a proposal from the Labour Minister, Jaromír Drábek, to systematically change the way state employees have been paid for the last 18 years. The plan is to reduce salaries by 10% and stop incremental pay rises based on tenure. Mr. Drábek explained what he saw was the benefit of this for Czech television on Thursday evening.
The concept used until now has significantly rewarded people for the number of years they have worked rather than what we want to strengthen, which is the quality of the work being done. If workers are automatically rewarded for the number of years they have spent in their position, there is no motivation in that. What we really want to do is to significantly motivate those working in the state administration towards greater productivity, not towards working in state administration for as long as possible.
In addition to the hope that greater reliance on bonus payments will raise the effectiveness of employees, the state aims to save up to 35 billion crowns. At present, the proposal is still in the refinement stage, but the Union of Public Sector Employees, headed by Alena Vondrova, has already said that there is no room for negotiation on such a radical change.
This change does not only involve the state administration, it involves all state employees with the exception of regional teachers, policemen and firemen. It affects professional soldiers, it even affects clergymen. It involves the entire public sector. I think it is objectively defective. Today, public sector employees have 70% of their salary guaranteed by law and 30% constitutes personal bonuses. The minister's proposal is to turn this upside down with a salary-to-bonuses ratio of 40% to 60%. In certain exceptional cases, it would even be 30% to 70%.
V některých výjimečných případech by to dokonce bylo 30% to 70%.
It is clearly a tricky debate, and with 640,000 people to be affected, it is probable it will reach a sharp pitch before it is sent to Parliament as an amendment to the Labour Code, particularly as the current salaries of state employees in the Czech Republic are not high. A teacher with 16 years' experience, for example, could see their pay drop from roughly $1,100 a month to around $830 in the plan's stricter version. Meanwhile, the lighter version would mean a pay cut of $90 a month for a young driver currently making about $478 a month, according to state employees' salary tables. Ms. Vondrova has said that if the proposal is implemented, workers should take to the street en masse.
Thank you, Christian. A monument was unveiled in Prague on Friday morning to Richard Siewiecz, the Polish man who set himself alight in protest at the 1968 Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. Siewiecz committed suicide in Warsaw in September 1968, just weeks after the invasion and 6 months before the Czech student Jan Palach took his life in Prague. Rob Cameron was at Friday's ceremony on the eve of the 42nd anniversary of the invasion and has this report.
A guard of honor stands to attention as a black granite monument is unveiled in front of Prague's Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes. On September the 8th, 1968, Richard Siewiecz set himself alight in front of a crowd of 100,000 people in protest at Poland's participation in the recent invasion of Czechoslovakia. He died shortly afterwards in hospital. Daniel Herman is the Institute's new director.
It's a very symbolic moment because we want to express our honor to Mr. Richard Siewiecz, who offered himself like living offer, like a protest against the occupation of the Czechoslovakia in 1968. And I think that it's a very important symbolical act, like honor from the side of the Czech society. And it's also very good place here at this institute, because the responsibility of this institution is the totalitarian regime.
You are, of course, a former priest and a religious man. Suicide for Christians is a sin.
Yeah, but I think this one is a symbol. It's an offer for freedom, and it's a higher level than suicide. I think it's not possible to understand it like suicide. It's a symbolical act.
The street outside the institute has already been renamed Shivietsova. The new monument is part of a continuing effort by Czech officials to recognize those who stood up to the communist system. Radek Jon is the country's new interior minister.
I am glad we renamed the street after him. Formerly, this was street named after communistic guy. And now this is hero from Poland, from foreign country. But he is our hero. I think man who goes against communistic regime such strongly is our hero, nevertheless if he is from Poland, Russia, etc.
The name of Ryszard Siwiec was unknown for decades after his self-immolation. Only recently has silent footage emerged showing the crowd suddenly parting around a man engulfed in flames, shouting wildly and flapping his arms up and down. Poland's communist government went to great lengths to erase his act from the public consciousness. A tape-recorded message explaining his actions was seized by the secret police. Even his farewell letter to his wife and family, written on the train to Warsaw, never reached them.
Thanks for that report, Rob. On Thursday evening, the Czech Republic's main awards for wine producers were presented at a ceremony in Prague, with the main prize going to Josef Valihrach, whose winery is located in a small town in South Moravia. The head of the jury was Ivo Dvořák, a founding member of the Association of Czech Sommeliers. I caught up with him the morning after to find out about the winner, what challenges wine production in the country is facing, and if the quality of Czech wine has improved in recent years.
We are a country with a moderated climate, and we have a very good in the white wines and or rosé. In dry category, it's mean regular sugar till 4 grams per 1 liter. So this wine will be in the future very good for a lot of consumptions, and I believe that the global warming brings also to the Czech Republic good influence, or maybe a good chance to product also red wines. We start now with a grape variety like Pinot Noir, it's mean Rulandské Modré, which is very good, but also in the future I think so the Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot will be good in our country.
And last night the winner of the Best Czech Winery Award was chosen, and you were the head of the commission. Can you tell me a little bit about why the winner was chosen, why the specific winery won?
The competition was specific in the evaluation of its wine, because it's not only one, it's a set of 5 wines, and the committee have not just one, but 5 wines, which is a minimum of 80 points in 100-point scale. So it means the winemaker is really good in all production, it means in white, red, rosé or sweet wines. And this winery's name is Josef Valihrach from Krunvíř. It's a very specific Czech village. And his production is really very good. And I think so he won because his production is always in the very high quality. And also last year he was a winner.
And is there anything in terms of the wine industry that the Czech Republic isn't doing yet that you think it should be doing?
I think so. It's the quality of Czech wine is in this moment very good, but also a lot of experience comes from outside. So always is a possibility to be better. So also we have a lot of possibility to make our wine a little bit better.
That was Ivo Dvořák, one of the country's leading sommeliers, speaking there. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Radio Prague with me, Sarah Barufka. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Chris Johnstone with the latest business news.
Czech road hauliers estimate their numbers have been decimated by the economic crisis combined with continuing high overheads. The country's biggest grouping of truckers, ČesMad Bohemia, says 1 in 10 of its members have probably gone to the wall. Figures from the association, which represents around 15 to 20% of all truckers, suggest that figure could be even larger, with its membership slipping from 2,100 to just over 1,800. The biggest problem is continuing slack demand for moving goods. This is combined with high fuel prices and road tolls, delayed payments from customers, and the strong Czech crown.
Iconic Czech vehicle producer Tatra this week unveiled facelifts of a series of its heavy vehicles. The center of attention was the civil version of its T810 truck, which has been modified from an original military design. Tatra, which has been suffering from weak sales and losses in recent years, hopes the vehicle will prove a hit with construction companies especially. The company, which celebrates its 160th birthday this year, also showed off a new version of a tipping truck and fire engine.
The Czech Republic is lobbying for relaxation of EU debt and deficit rules to help it pave the way for pension reforms. The country has teamed up with 8 other nations, mostly members of the former Soviet bloc, calling for the existing rules to be rewritten to help it organise an overhaul of the current pay-as-you-go pension system. Prime Minister Petr Nečas argued the case to a sceptical German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, on a visit to Berlin on Thursday. Current EU rules set a limit of 3% of gross domestic product for public deficits. The Czech government is pledged to overhaul its existing pension system, saying it cannot hold up under the pressure of an ageing population.
The finance ministry says that it will not now implement some of its most unpopular tax measures next year, but keep them pending till later. The postponed measures include the abolition of tax perks on Lenchen vouchers and tax advantages for those with mortgages and who have taken out insurance. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek admitted that the retreat was a strategic one, aimed at making his package of tax increases for next year easier to pass through Parliament. But like a dog with a bone, Mr. Kalousek is not giving up. He says that he will get back to those outstanding tax perks in time for the 2012 budget. Now, in the last part of our program today, we will hear about the Prague-based fusion band Al-Yaman, which unites two very different cultures, the Yemeni and the Czech one. Jan Richter has more.
It's a long way from the Czech Republic to Yemen, but you can cover the distance of nearly 6,000 kilometers between the Czech capital and the coastal city of Aden in less than an hour. All you need to do is to have a listen to a new album by the Prague-based band Al-Yaman, which combines electronica and dub with Arabic acoustic instruments and folk songs. The band Al-Yaman, meaning Yemen in Arabic, was the outcome of a meeting between two distant worlds, Czech musician and music producer Aleš Hivnar and Ashwak Abdullah Kulaib, a Yemeni woman who has lived in Prague since the fall of communism. This unlikely connection led to their first CD in 2004, and they have since performed at clubs and festivals in the Czech Republic and beyond. In their second album, called Insania, the pair created a more complex and elaborate fusion of the two worlds. Al-Yaman's creative duo, composer Aleš Hivnar and the author of the lyrics and the lead vocalist Ashwak, got together in the year 2000. Both of them had been involved with other projects, but never with an original Arabic-inspired fusion, Ale Živnar explains.
Vznikli jsme tak, že jsem se seznámil s Ashwak, bylo to v roce...
The band came together when I met Ashwak in 2000. I got to her through another Czech band, Hypnotix, who found her and invited her to record a song with them. That's how I met her and offered her to take part in this project.
Takže jsem se s ní seznámil a nabídl jsem jí projekt.
Ashwak Abdullah Kulaib came to Prague to study just in time to see the aftermath of the Velvet Revolution. She majored in journalism and political science at Prague's Charles University, but always planned to return to her homeland.
I never thought that I'm going to stay here. I never thought that I'm going to sing. I never thought that I'm going to build a family, whatever. It was for me really just to study and to go back, because for Yemeni women, it's first, it's not very usual to go out of Yemen and especially to Europe to study, you know. Most of the families, it's impossible for them to send their daughters outside. Maybe men, yes, the boys, yes, they can, but not the ladies. But my mom supports me very much, because my mom, she supports me. So she feel this kind of woman to woman, you know. So she knew it, and she knew that I'm fine with that, and I want it, and... my father was against, of course, but whatever. We win. Ladies win.
Ashwak was born in the northern part of Yemen, but grew up in Aden on the country's southern coast. Before she came to Prague, she had very basic musical and singing experience, just like pretty much everybody in her country.
Yeah, I was just playing in the school. Normally when we have, you know, when the school finished, so we celebrated and we were very happy. So we make some like a big, celebration, and we sing, we did some songs. I used to sing every time there. And I never, you know, the children there, they sing. Every child sing there. So we're singing. So, but I didn't know that will come time and I will be singer. So it was for me and planning things, you know. So I didn't plan that.
Al-Yaman's first album, Huria, or Freedom, came out in 2004. But most reviewers said the fusion stays on the surface and mostly offered dance electronica adorned with Arabic ornaments. On the album Insania, which means humanity, and came out in February, Ashwak and Hivnar worked with an international ensemble and took a slightly different approach.
Já samozřejmě jako producentsky tu muziku už dělám nějakých více jak 20 let.
I've been a music producer for more than 20 years, and for me, Al-Yaman is primarily a studio project. I do all the songs, and only after they are finished, the musicians come in and we rehearse the stage show. We've had some reviews which noted that compared to our live acts, the album sounds a little colder, and I agree. It's originally a studio project where there is not much space for spontaneity.
One reason why the lead singer, flute player and lyrics writer Ashwak Abdullah Kulaib stayed in Prague was her family. Compared with Western Europe, however, the Czech Republic has very low immigration levels, and Ashwak says it's sometimes been extremely difficult to cope with the Czech attitudes to foreigners and Czech racism.
For me, it's more difficult when you find intelligent people. They think that that's not racist, but they are. This is for me the worst thing I met and I see in this country. The people, even those people, they you think they are talking that we are not, but they are actually. We are not racist, but we don't like gypsy. This is for me so, you know, it's a shock. When I hear this first time, I was like shocked.
Is this reflected, or do you reflect this anyhow in your music and in the lyrics?
Of course, as you know that we have some songs, it's some Arabian well-known songs, or it doesn't mean that well-known it's better, you know, but it's Arabian songs, and we change the way of singing or whatever, and we use it. But most of the lyrics, yeah, it's my experience. It's my experience, it's my feeling. It's not only with racism or, you know, it's also with my feeling, exactly how I feel the word, you know. So it's it is.
Aren't you concerned? I mean, you're singing in Arabic, of course, which is great and really interesting to listen to. But I think that the message, you know, does not reach as many people as it would, you know, if it were in English or even in Czech.
Sometimes I talk. Sometimes when we have concerts, so I talk about something. So, I talk. Between songs, I talk to the people sometimes.
Mixing Western and Arabic music is becoming increasingly popular with fans around the world, including some Middle Eastern countries such as Israel, Lebanon and Turkey. So, is this style also popular in Yemen? And what would the Yemenis think of Al Yaman and their music?
You know, Yemeni people, they are conservative. They don't mix very much. They still have this pure Yemeni music, and I love it. My music in Yemen? I think they will think that I'm crazy, I think. Because I think people, anyway, even Europeans, some the Czech, they think that I am a little bit more than normal. It means crazy or whatever. Why not? I am crazy.
More details about the band and their albums can be found at alyaman.cz. And if you're in Prague this month, don't miss their show featured at the Fabiofest Film Festival on the 27th of March.
That edition of The Arts by Jan Richter first aired in March of this year. It brings us to the end of today's program. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. But until then, from myself, Sarah Barufka, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye. Thank you.